again, good afternoon. This is Juan Vega with the Executive Office of Housing and Economic Development, and this is the conference call for the 2019 round of the Urban Agenda Grant Program. I would like to start by thanking everyone that's on the line for joining us. I wanted to take this opportunity, as we have done each of the years of that we've done the program, to go over the highlights of the actual application, and as well as the RFP, in terms of providing guidance on the types of projects that we're hoping to see come in the round. You should all have been able to access the RFP, which is available on our website at www.mass.gov/HED, and search on the pages there on the grants and programs. I believe they put us in the workforce development box, although, as you know, some of the projects, or not all the projects, are going to be workforce development. But you should be able to find there the RFP, copy of the application, as well as a copy or link to the budget form. I will start by saying we're very happy to be able to offer this round of the Urban Agenda Grant Program. We, the legislature, and with the governor's signature of the budget, did include a $500,000 line item for the program this year. We are soliciting applications from all the eligible communities as outlined in the RFP. There are 53 communities that we have identified that are eligible to participate. I will start by reiterating and restating the introduction of the RFP, which describes our idea around the Urban Agenda Grant Program being a program to support cross-sector collaborations based in the community that are attempting to resolve an economic development problem or opportunity by developing community-defined responses. The Urban Agenda Grant Program borrows very heavily or is seated in some respects to the tenets of the Working Cities Challenge, which many of you may be familiar with, which talks about this collaborative leadership, collective impact model of developing responses to economic development opportunities in areas of high poverty, dense populations, so a lot of our gateway cities, as well as a lot of the urban centers that we have defined across the Commonwealth to ensure that we have cross geographical representation. So I'll just go right through the RFP. The scope, as was described, is inviting applications, requesting up to $100,000 for the implementation and general operating support of these innovative and collaborative community economic development projects and programming that supports residents in low and moderate income communities. We anticipate making multiple awards. These will be cost reimbursement contracts, and we do cite the line item that this is derived from. As we did last year, these projects that we fund, we anticipate being able to make these announcements no later than December for a January start of projects, and each applicant will propose whether they're running a project for 6 months or up to 12 months ending December 2019. In the RFP, we also list out all the communities that are eligible. I do want to stress a little bit about this maximum number of allowed applications per community. There continues to be a little bit of confusion on the way that we do these definitions or the way that we describe this eligibility. But much like the Working Cities Challenge is set up, we do invite a community to submit one application, one collective application for that municipality. we ask that the municipality or the lead chief elected official, or in some cases town or city managers, be a key partner and be involved in the application along with a lead community organization. Either one of those two can be the lead applicant for purposes of contracting, but both are required on every application. And in addition, you could have all sorts of other partners to be involved, such as the Chambers of Commerce, other nonprofits, local businesses, employers, housing authorities, et cetera, and we include a list of all the potential partners. But then we have also, and so for all communities under with populations under 150,000, we're inviting one proposal per community. For those cities that have a population over 150,000, we are inviting you to either submit one application, like everyone else, one citywide application. But understanding the wider geography, if there are defined communities and the cities would like to submit multiple applications, you may do so by submitting one application per clearly defined neighborhood in as defined by those communities. In those cases, if you're going to submit multiple applications, then we ask you not to submit a citywide application because it'd be directly competing against yourself in that respect. However, each neighborhood application does compete along with the rest of the pool of all the applicants. And if there are any questions later, I'd be certainly happy to go over those in terms of the number of communities that may apply. In the case of communities that are doing multiple applications, we still require that the municipality or the lead official be a partner in each of those applications. As far as moving on to Section 3.5, the Statement of Work Requirements, we do provide some examples of the types of projects that have been successful in the past. It's certainly targeted workforce development projects, projects that relate to vocational education activities, supports for small businesses, building capacity of small businesses on main streets, mentorship of adults and youth entrepreneurs, development of training and development and training support for women, veteran, minority-owned businesses, etc. The list is not exhaustive. Again, we are looking to evaluate your unique community's response to an opportunity that you have defined. At this point, I do want to stress one of the things that we've done as far as feedback for a lot of the communities that have requested feedback after the round and where their application may not have been successful. The role of the target population, as hopefully you will see from the way we ask the questions, is of utmost importance. We are looking at proposals and applications and making the evaluation based on the extent to which the populations that are being served and are beneficiaries, if you will, of the programming have been part of the planning as well. While it is certainly important to have multiple community partners, a long list of agencies that are part of the coalition is not necessarily going to weigh as heavily as clear articulation of how the target population has been engaged. Whether your target population happens to be businesses or young people or entrepreneurs, et cetera, or parents of school children, et cetera, the extent to which those populations have been involved and your project is in direct response to something you're hearing, whether that interaction has been through surveying, workshops, focus groups, et cetera, it's going to be important to really articulate how your project and what you're proposing is in direct response to what that community has shared as its needs. That is particularly important as you spell out the components of your program, that it's, you know, that there needs to be clearly understood how the activities of your project directly relate back to the target population. We also are looking for clear descriptions of these coalitions in whatever form they come. There may be a community association, a collaborative, a coalition, et cetera. We're looking to understand and have a clear sense of the group and how long these partners and these stakeholders have worked together, even if it's been on different types of projects, but the extent to which that these coalitions have existed or have been part of the community. And we're also going to be looking for the projects that have scored the best in the past have been those that have really honed in on that target population. I've read proposals that while I understand that they're trying to reach out to parents and the children and entrepreneurs and parents that own business, et cetera, the more narrow and specific you can be about your target population and really honing in on that specificity, the higher or the better your proposal will score. And also the details in how you are programming your interventions, whether you are providing capacity building, whether you're providing mentorship or classes of some sort, or trainings, et cetera. The extent to which you can really detail in your proposal the intervention and how those relate back to building the capacity of your target population, again, those projects tend to score much better. We do not distinguish, and we're not, if many of you may recall from our very initial 2015 round of the Urban Agenda, we at that time had a larger pool. Therefore, we did partition out planning grants versus implementation grants. In this round, we unfortunately don't have the pool to be able to make that distinction. However, we have been asked whether applying for a planning grant is appropriate. The answer, the short answer to that is yes. It is certainly appropriate to put forth a proposal for a planning effort. What I will stress is, however, it depends how well your planning proposal does in the round depends in large part to the entire pool of applications. If there are many projects that are ready to go and in the implementation phase that score higher, then that's what you have to weigh, whether you want to submit a planning grant and compete with the implementation grants. In a rare case where there may be half of the proposals are planning proposals, those applications may fare much better. But we leave it up to the community to decide which approach it wants to take. I will say, at least in the last round that we did, all of the grants that were awarded happened to all be implementation grants. It was much more difficult for the planning grants to compete in that respect. Moving along to the evaluation criteria in the RFP. As we've done in the past, we've tried to spell out the various sections. There are questions directly related to each of those sections, and we try to outline for you the points that each of these sections will be assigned. Part of that is to certainly bring attention to the section called Economic Opportunity Project Plan. 40 of the 100 points go into that section. That's really, for all intents and purposes, the meat of the proposal, where you will talk specifically about the interventions and the project model that you're following, what specifically you are doing in terms of activities and anticipated outcomes, et cetera. So I will certainly stress to all applicants to really focus on that section, as that is the highest valued section. However, we do spread out the points that are looking, again, to measure the strength of your collaborations, how long the group's been together, what successes you've had in the past, the capacity of your group to succeed is going to be important as well. The overall application, if you have clicked on and checked it out, we have put the application into FormStack as a way to facilitate, hopefully, the application coming in and giving you the ability to work on it, save, come back, maybe have, if you have multiple people working on the application. But ideally, this will come in an electronic format to us. It's going to be much easier to organize and distribute to the various reviewers. We will be inviting, again, reviewers from our various partner state agencies, in particular folks from DHCD, and we've had folks from the Department of the Executive Office of Education, the Executive Office of Labor and Workforce Development, to name a few. The application should be pretty straightforward. As I mentioned, if you look at the RFP, follow the outline in the section called Evaluation Criteria. That'll spell out the various sections, how many points we're assigning to each, and the items that will be included in the application as far as questions. And then there is a separate document for the budget that we've added in there as well. So please keep in mind that those are two separate documents that will be required. We do require the application with the budget, along with the letters from the lead applicant and the lead partner. In most cases, there'll be two letters, one from the municipality that's sponsoring the group, as well as the lead nonprofit or community agency that is a part of the coalition. We certainly, if you'd like to submit other letters of support from the other partners, those are certainly welcome, but we are only requiring the two letters from the municipality and the lead partner. The procurement calendar and schedule, as you know, we've issued the RFP on September 24th. We're having this conference call today, and the deadline for submitting applications will be October 25th by 5 p.m. We intend to review them through the month of November and make announcements about awards in December, with the idea of being able to contract and get these all started in January of 2019. And I realize we have a typo in the RFP that we will correct. It says January 2018. As far as we have this conference call, and hopefully we'll get some questions from you, I'll try to answer those. If not, I'll make a note, and what we'll do is put together an FAQ and post that on the same website where the application is to provide answers and guidance on these items to all the potential applicants. The RFP includes some other terms and conditions around the awarding of the contracts and public records information and the terms of the application. Other than that, the final part of the RFP includes the application sections, the highlighted questions, and the which correlate with the application form and FormStack. So I think that outlines the majority of the items in the RFP. I think at this point, why don't we open up the line and invite any questions that you may have. As I said, I'm here taking notes, and I will try to answer questions as best I can for the group today. but we'll make note and include them in the FAQ if I need more time to research it. So as I mentioned, I believe star one will unmute you. Whoever wants to start, just do star one, and that I ask that you introduce yourself and your community and ask your question.
Hello, this is Ethan Brown. I'm calling from the Central Mass Workforce Board. I had two questions of clarification. You had mentioned that you need letters from the municipality and the lead applicant. My question is, we are a part of the city, and we would more than likely be the lead applicant. Do we still need two letters, or one letter suffice?
So to clarify, you are the Workforce Board?
We are the Workforce Board, and we are a part of the City of Worcester. We are a division within the City of Worcester. So I'm wondering, do we still need something from our city manager and something from the board, or just one letter, or that's where I need clarification?
Sure. So we are requiring two letters from every single applicant. That includes the municipality. In the case of the Workforce Board, I imagine you have an executive director or you have a chair of your board. Even though you may be part of the city, in most cases, the mass hire boards are connected to the municipalities that as the lead municipality. But I would look at it as if you are going to be the applicant, you would still need the letter from the municipality.
Okay. And then my second question, you had mentioned FAQs, you pulled all this together. If we have questions after this conference call, are we still able to ask?
Yes. We invite you to submit the questions to the email in the RFP, eohedgrants@mass.gov. And I'll get them, and my staff here will get them, and we will, as best we can, we may group them together, and we'll post them in the FAQ.
Okay, thank you very much.
And for the FAQ, I invite folks to please check periodically in the next couple of weeks on the website for any updated FAQs. Thank you. So if somebody else, you can start one to unmute mute yourself again, and then if somebody wants to jump in with a question, please do so now.
Hi, this is Ann Morgan from the town of Webster, town planner.
Hello, Ann.
Hi. Yes, my town administrator had one quick question about the nature of the awarding of the grants. Is the proposal that we put forward, or I should say, should the awarding of the grants, are they a not-to-exceed amount, or will partial awards be given in the event that there are multiple applications and a portion of an application is deemed worthy of funding?
Thank you, Anne. That's an excellent question. So the way we have set this up, yeah, they are not to exceed $100,000 in any case. However, we have, on occasion, we will consider partial awards depending on the pool of applicants and the how well all the applications score. If we do run into a situation where we have, you know, a handful of very high-scoring proposal, we will reach out to the community and discuss the potential for a partial award.
Perfect. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Very good. This is Françoise Elise with South Middlesex Opportunity Council.
Hello, Françoise.
How are you?
Well,
I am just making a technical observation. The evaluation criteria.
Yep.
And the point system is different from the question order. And so I just want to point that out.
The question order in the application, you mean?
Yes. So the point system and the list of items attached to the points that we will be evaluated on.
Yep.
It's different in order than the questions in the RFP. So to me, it just seems like some of the actual questions in the RFP could be evaluated in, it could be in different ways, or evaluated it's just not a consistent system compared to the actual questions.
Fair enough. I will take a look at that and ensure. I'm just looking now at the RFP under evaluation criteria, and then on the final page where it describes the sections, right? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. And what I've done is I've, you know, looked at the actual application, and I've actually made a Word document out of it, so, and lined up the questions. And I'm trying to assign the actual questions in the application to a point that you've assigned. And it's not quite clear. They don't just, it just doesn't fall in the in aligned exactly.
I mean, the section, so I'm looking, you know, section 3, for example, in on the form stack is the community collaboration and partnerships, which corresponds to that section in the evaluation criteria.
Right.
And I'm just going through the others as you're, and so I've got the project vision and goals next, which is prior to that. Okay, I see where you're. And then after that is the target population. So there may be just, it just meant a misalignment in terms of the translating of evaluation criteria into the swarm stack, but each of the sections, they may be in a slightly different order in the form stack, but there should be a section in this application in form stack that corresponds with each of these sections and the evaluation criteria. So there is a section called economic opportunity that's worth 40 points in the form stack, I believe. Let's see, that's section 6 called project programming plan, and so that corresponds to that 40 section, and then there is another section called target population, etc. So maybe I see what you're saying in terms of there may be a slight from when the RFP was developed and then when we tried to turn this into a form stack, it was a little bumpy to say the least. But I assure you that the sections that you're going to fill out, everybody's answers to the specific sections will be correlated to the 100-point system.
Okay.
And, you know, the point that project plan is going to be worth the most is, it will be the case regardless of how they come up in the order. Versus vision and goals versus target population. That make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right, thank you. There are other questions. Again, you do star 1 to unmute yourself.
Juan, hi. This is Nancy Turner from the Neighborhood Developers.
Hello, Nancy. How are you?
Good, thanks. Do you have any sense, are you all encouraging renewal proposals, or are you looking to fund new initiatives?
Renewal proposals, do you mean that were previously awarded versus not awarded, or you?
Yes, so previously awarded projects.
Yeah, that's an excellent question, which I didn't we didn't address in the RFP. We certainly are we are open and inviting to the extent that all of these new contracts are not likely to be in place until January 2019. We anticipate that anybody that was awarded in the 2018 round would have completed their previous project by that time. So we didn't put that information in the RFP on purpose, leaving it open for any current awardees. Anybody that applied last year and was not successful can apply, as well as any communities that are brand new to the program. I will say, however, that since the current awardees are still in a reporting phase, there'll be a quarterly report due soon. The extent to which you submit an application in the 19 round that is similar or is a continuation of the current project, I would say, unless there's a very compelling argument, it's going to be very difficult to score as high if there isn't a new component on that initiative. Is that clear? Or?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, so the short answer is yes. Current awardees are all invited, but I would definitely ask that you consider carefully what project you're going to pitch in this next round.
This is Ethan Brown again from Central Mass. Another question I came up with, is it the expectation that the areas that were identified in the RFP would be submitting their own? For example, would Central Mass be accepted, meaning Leominster, Fitchburg, and Worcester? Or is it, you know, we're actually a board in Worcester and we should focus on our own community?
So, excellent question. I think, so each community that's listed in here is eligible to apply individually, and we expect that each will do individually. To the extent that an application comes in from multiple communities, if all three, let's say there's three of them, if all three municipal leads, So in a case like that, I would expect to see letters from each of the three or four communities whereby the lead elected official is signing on to this project as a regional project.
Okay.
And each community has their respective community organizations involved.
Okay.
I will say that, yeah, there's HED in general, through many of our grant programs, looks very favorably when we get regional projects where multiple communities are coming in together for a common, you know, kind of common effort.
Yep.
And so, however, each of the communities eligible, and you would all, each community will be eligible for that one grant. So they wouldn't be. You know, otherwise, each community could submit their own grant for their own project. They're eligible for that.
Okay.
But if they choose to come in together, then I would expect to see letters from all the communities kind of buying into this. And I would expect that the implementation of the project is, in fact, truly regional in nature.
Okay.
Meaning that it will provide benefit across a region as opposed to being very central in one place.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, any other questions? We have star one can get you unmuted. It doesn't sound like we have any other questions. I hope that means that everything is crystal clear. I have made a note of some of the questions that have come up, and we will prepare them in an FAQ just so that we share them with all the communities or any of the potential applicants, especially those that may not have been able to join the call. Aside from that, I'll just reiterate that October 25th will be the deadline for 5 p.m. The form stack, once you fill it out, it'll give you the opportunity at the end to submit. And similarly with the budget form, any questions or things that come up, please send an email to the eohedgrants@mass.gov. That'll be, we're monitoring that now, and we'll certainly try to get back in response as quickly as we can. Otherwise, and again, if there are any concerns, issues, or updates that we need to make to the RFP, those will be posted on the website at the same location where the RFP and the budget forms are. And so I do encourage potential applicants to check in regularly on the website for any updates that we've been able to post. I'll do one last call. If there are any other questions, if you star one, you can unmute yourself. Otherwise, we will wrap up. Okay. Hearing no additional questions, I thank everybody for your participation this afternoon, and I wish you all the best as you get on to writing your look forward to hearing about all of the exciting projects that are happening across the Commonwealth. Thank you. Have a great rest of the day.